Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Deutsche Bank and its asset management company DWS may be in trouble over a practice called greenwashing. German police raided their offices last week. They were looking for evidence the companies misled investors by falsely claiming funds were environmentally and socially responsible. And it all raises a broader question that regulators in the US and Europe are asking: is socially conscious investing real or just PR, marketing? Let's talk to Rana Faruhar in New York. She's columnist and associate editor at the Financial Times. Rana, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So there is a huge surge of money flowing into investments that are labeled as ESG, E for the environment, S for social progress, G for corporate governance. By one measure, it's tripled in the past decade to more than $2.5 trillion. So for the rest of us, investors who may have money in these funds through our 401ks or our kids' college funds, what does greenwashing mean?
Well, you know, you've started with a great point, which is that assets in ESG funds have just grown like Topsy in the last few years. And, you know, for good reasons. We're all concerned about climate, about the planet, about labor standards. But one issue is that this whole idea of what is green, I mean, it's gotten so broad. The term ESG has become kind of a catch-all for a range of investing approaches that could include everything from removing, say, tobacco and defense stocks from your fund to any kind of strategy that promises to bring about positive social, environmental, even labor change. That's a really big universe of things to be thinking about. Who's checking on all of these promises? You know, what are the standards for them? We don't have clear guidelines for any of those things yet. So you get big firms like BlackRock that maybe doing good in some ways, also investing in fossil fuels or investing in China in a way that, you know, are some of those investments fueling bad practices environmentally or with labor standards? We don't really know. So I would never, as an investor, assume that you're getting a perfect ESG play when you're investing.
Wow. As I hear you, Rana, talk about this, I'm thinking about the equivalent of walking through the vitamin aisle, right? Where all of these products claim to burn my fat and grow my hair back or whatever, and I'm just this confused shopper. I mean, is that kind of what we and regulators are dealing with?
You know, that is actually a perfect analogy. You start with a good idea. I want to shrink my fat. I want to grow my hair, you know, and then you have a product that purports to give you that, and everybody buys it, and then that expands the market so quickly that it essentially becomes meaningless. That's sort of how ESG investing has become. It's been diluted in some cases to a state of meaninglessness, but in other cases, it's, you know, opened up these pockets of space for all kinds of fraudsters, really.
So what is the answer? Is there a way to get toward an agreed upon definition of what green means that regulators agree on, that Wall Street can agree on? Are things directionally moving there?
I think they are directionally moving there. The war in Ukraine has actually been a little bit of a pivot point here. I think it's forced questions like, how can we make a real systemic shift to clean energy much faster than we are doing it now, because we see that the risks so front and center of relying on fossil fuels. Can we afford to do it? Who pays for all this? I mean, these are questions that are being discussed not just in the US, but also in Europe. Ideally, you would get the US and Europe on board with some standards. In my fantasy world, I would love to see a price on carbon. That would be so amazing, and it would do not only so much to give us real environmental social governance change, but it would actually combat some of the problems with globalization. You wouldn't be able to have Chinese steel dumping if you had a price on carbon, because suddenly you'd see, there's the price of that steel dumping.
I wonder if this raises a conflict of interest in the industry. Say, if I'm managing one of these funds that is labeled environmentally conscious, socially conscious, but I'm also rewarded for making money, aren't I going to be tempted to put money in that Chinese steel company? Aren't I going to be tempted to buy a fossil energy company when prices are so high right now?
100%. 100%. And it's not only about temptation, It's actually about fiduciary duty. Investors have a fiduciary duty to shareholders. They're meant to make shareholders money. Now, the whole point of ESG is that a lot of people think, I think correctly, that doing better, doing good for the planet will ultimately be good for business as well, in part because we'll have a planet, you know? But in the short term, there are all kinds of pressures, not just, you know, from a greed standpoint, but from a legal standpoint. And those are things that are being worked out too. I think the SEC, by the way, I got to give a big shout out to the SEC and to its chair, Gary Gensler, that they're really thinking deeply about these questions. What does fiduciary duty mean? And how do we get to a place where those incentives that you're talking about do line up better?
That's Rana Faruhar, Financial Times columnist and associate editor. Rana, great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.